Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good evening. Welcome to the Illini Enquirer podcast. It's Jeremy Warner, Derek Piper, live on our YouTube channel here at Illini Enquirer. If you're joining us tonight, hit that like button, hit subscribe. As Illinois, Derek, survives and advances. They survive when they don't play their best ball. We get some big performances from some guys we don't normally see that from. Dane Danger, 18 points, 8 rebounds, almost hit season highs in both those categories tonight. Ty Rogers, a double-double for Illinois. And Terrence Shannon with 28 points. But not a great night for Marcus Demash. Just 7 points on 3 of 16 shooting. Coleman Hawkins really didn't play well at all for the first 38 minutes, but huge winning plays down the stretch, Derek, as Illinois overcomes a 10-point second-half deficit to come back, beat one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They're top 15 in the country over the last, month, according to some of the metrics. Yep. Can really guard. And they burst another bubble as Ohio State. Jake Diebler, what a run they made at the end of the year, has put him in the conversation for Ohio State's future coach. We'll see if that happens. But Ohio State not going to make the tournament now, and Illinois potentially could be a 3 seed after this victory. But I got to tell you, Derek, one point, I thought we were going to talk about a third straight one and done for Illinois in the Big Ten tournament.
I was with you. I was already thinking about the 8-hour drive back that we were probably going to have tomorrow, and I wasn't too excited about that. So eye test-wise, Illinois did not play all that well. I think Brad Underwood really spoke to that after the game. I don't think he's super satisfied. Obviously, with the fact early second half, he calls a timeout and explodes on his team for lack of effort and just some of the focus things. Even I know that he mentioned in the post-game interview that Justin Harmon was supposed to foul up 3, and they didn't do that. So there's some things that Illinois did that left some plays out there, missed some free throws. And then first half in particular, didn't have a whole lot rolling in addition to Terrence and outside of some moments from Dane as well. But a huge credit to Dane for being able to – I mean, it's just been a constant progression here the last few weeks. And to put it together and explode like that in a huge moment, be able to feed him inside, for him to be that active on the glass. Thought he was pretty good defensively too, holding his ground against Akpara. And just there's a noticeable difference when he was out there. So that was huge. Coleman down the stretch after a pretty forgettable night leading up to that, but does show maturity to go back into the game and make winning plays. I mean, he got the matchup late against Battle, who is a bucket. Like, that dude's really good, and he was even making some tough shots, but Coleman forced him into a turnover or two, got the stops they needed. And, you'll take survive in advance mode. You knew this was going to be a gritty, tricky game because Ohio State has been playing that well, and they had momentum and whatnot, but you'll take survival too. And, 28 from Terrence Shannon obviously helps you there too.
That's right. It's weird. Free throws felt like it could cost you the game, but also the reason you won the game. 6 free throws made in the final minute and a half to end the game on a 6-0 run. Because I thought when Jameson Battle made that 3 with 1:43 left that I would have made, it's not going to be their night. And they find a way. And that's encouraging, Derek, for a team that had issues closing games this year. And let's be honest, like previous teams, if Kofi and Alfonso Plummer did not have a big game, if – last year, Matthew Meyer did not have a great game. And Terrence Shannon, team wouldn't win it. So to have Marcus Demask have one of his worst offensive nights of the season, efficiency-wise, 7 points, 3 of 16 shooting, and to find a way to win is huge. And how could you not be so happy for Dane Danger? This guy was on the fringe of the rotation in January, playing 5 minutes a game during Big Ten play. And tonight, the game before at Iowa, he's making huge impacts on winning for this team, and he's forcing Brad Underwood to play him. As Michael Tuip said on the podcast, it's a lot of the defense. He's one of the best defensive players they have right now in the post, just playing strong there, rebounding. The intensity is there, and then he's going to get his points when he's on the court long enough, and just some tough finishes around Akpara, who's really good defender, really good shot blocker. How could you not be happy for a guy that's kind of gutted through, Derek, and his teammates and coach are today are just raving about how he's such a great guy, has worked hard, continued to work hard, despite, you know, having the kind of season that's probably worth pouting over.
No doubt. Yeah, you got to love stories like that. The ability to stick with it shows that he cares about the team, not only just about his own playing time and being able to get numbers and get minutes. I mean, he said today that after the game that he wants to do whatever he can to help his team win a national title. So, of course, there's a lot of steps before that. But for Illinois to really put all the pieces together, when you have a backup big man that's playing that well, that you can go to when Coleman's struggling or in foul trouble, that you can play with Coleman at times, it's giving Illinois a real shot in the arm. You don't win this game without him. So it's been exciting to see him play up to his potential, because we know the potential's definitely been there. I mean, he's offensively talented. He's hard to move off his spot when he wants to go into you. I thought he was at times. We know that he is skilled and can make those spin moves and whatnot. And at times he gets himself in trouble, but he talked about it in the locker room afterwards, just understanding the Ohio State game in Columbus. Maybe he's a little too finesse tonight. He kind of just put power into Okpara a few times and had a couple of those on and ones just going through him and scoring through him. So, and then after one of them, he gave Okpara a mean look, man. Like, he's like, I don't know, just the swagger and the confidence coming out of Dane, yeah, which is really cool. So, this is all about, we talk about it team-wise, individual-wise, you want to play your best basketball at this time of year. Dane just doing that. And real quick, before I throw it back to you, it kind of gave me a little bit, I tweeted about this, mm-hmm, a little bit of easy parallel, but I couldn't help but think Big Ten tournament, Ohio State, big moment. Georgia Bishanishvili had like a little takeover mode, not little, but in 2021 when Kofi was in foul trouble and Coleman struggling tonight, it felt like Dane kind of had shades of Georgie in terms of an impact off the bench.
And that's what you need, Derek, to like win in these tournaments. We think about it throughout the season, but you have an off game, you lose, and you don't go home. You play another game. Like Georgie having that game, we all remember that. Like that's one of his like lasting legacy moments. So if you do have Damask have that game, you have somebody like Dane just step up, or if Terrence has an off night and Quincy Guerrier has a big performance, didn't tonight. There's something like that's going to be important to survive in advance in the NCAA tournament. Ty Rogers, one of those guys tonight too. 12 points, 10 rebounds, just a beast on the glass. Illinois, what they end up with? 19 offensive rebounds. They had 17 second chance points. So Ty continues to play hard. He looks confident offensively. Derek, he's given them somebody who can create a little bit when Marcus can't do it or Terrence can't do it. So at least he's doing that complimentary right now. But I just want to focus on Coleman Hawkins. He looked out of it. Like one of those games where Coleman's just focus is elsewhere and just not locked in. Like at one moment, Brad Underwood looked at him and said, get your mind right with an expletive in the mix of that. But those final 2 minutes, man, that was inspiring stuff. Final 2 minutes. He made two free throws to give you the lead. He had two offensive rebounds on that final possession to help Terrence get fouled to get a three-point lead. Drew a charge, right, to get a turnover out of Ohio State. Sure, had a defensive rebound and had two blocks. Dom, like Brad Emmer said in the locker room, he was the best player on the court final 2 minutes. And that's completely true. So for him to bounce back, which sometimes that might not happen for Coleman Hawkins, I thought that was huge. And I think the bench sent him a little bit of a message there in the second half.
No doubt. Yeah, and you are able to do that and survive that with Dane. It does allow you to put Coleman on the bench, send that message a little bit. Also, if he's not playing well, to still get production. And but it was a senior closing like a senior should with his season on the line and understanding that you got to make plays in winning time. And so many of these basketball games, in the middle of March and on, come down to just a few possessions. It's almost like you could fast forward to the 8 minute mark or, you know, approaching the last 5 minutes and it's a 5 point game or somewhere thereabouts. And it's about who makes those plays late. Coleman to be matched up on Jameson Battle, who's having a really good, night, makes some tough shots, to be able to get those crunch time stops and that offensive rebound later, which extended a possession. I think Illinois maybe ended up getting fouled on that. It was good to see. It was a maturity about him. Now Coleman has to understand, I'm sure Brad will send the message that we can't have you checked out for 30 minutes in a win or go home mode, especially in the next tournament you're about to go to. So that needs to be addressed. That needs to be fixed because with Marcus struggling, with Coleman kind of lackluster, very lackluster. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to get them in winning position. So
Quincy Guerrier, 0 points in 20 minutes, 4 rebounds in 20 minutes. Like, yeah. You had 3 seniors not play well most of this game, and you still won. I guess a team that looked tournament caliber. Like, this was one of the better teams in the country over the last month, and he still found a way to win. And, again, we gave credit. We got to give credit to Terrence Shannon here, too. Another 28 points, 8 of 20 shooting, but just dominant in the final 10 minutes, Derek. 14 points in the final 10 minutes, 9 of 10 from the free throw line in the final 10 minutes. I thought he was really good defensively. I know Bruce Thornton got some of his, but there was just – that guy wanted to win tonight. Like, there was no doubt about that. He had a look in his eye that I thought was great. And that Euro step was one of the best Euro steps I've ever seen. In transition to get an and one and get his team kind of back into it, hit a big three to kind of give some energy here. So just wanted to shout out Terrence Shane. He's been so damn good. And tonight was no different.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, on the note of the Euro step, because he can gather and he's so slick with it, it's hard to square him up. Now, I did think that Bruce Thornton maybe squared him up once on a call that was a block and maybe should have been a charge, but outside of that, it's so difficult when you know that the block charge rule and they want to lean towards not giving the defender that call, that Terrence is just it's so automatic of being able to finish through guys and beat guys to a spot and slide this way when you see she's a defender walling up on him. So, he was aggressive, and Illinois needed it. All of that in the first half. I mean, I can't remember off the top, but I think it was like 6 for 13 in the first half, and the rest of the team was like 6 for 19, missing free throws. And he really, really led you and carried you outside of then, obviously, Dane, who got it going. But that's what you want your star player, your alpha dog, to look like. And then to get to the free throw line late and make those shots is key. So I liked it Illinois early, just kind of a nitty gritty, you know, into the X and O's. I know that Brad talks about maybe not running a ton through Terrence. I thought early on they ran him off a lot of the stagger screens, get him coming to the top of the key with his left hand, and he's able to make plays downhill off of that. And I liked seeing that because it was tough for with Ohio State's size. This was a tough matchup for Marcus and Booty Ball. Like,
yeah,
get him on Mahaffey, Battle, Thornton, like. He's not going to have a lot of those, oh, he's got a real size mismatch or athleticism mismatch, those type of things. So Ohio State kind of took that away, but Terrence did enough, and then obviously Dane to make it a winning formula.
All right, we'll get some of your super chats. Thanks to Duke for the $1.99 silver chat. We appreciate you guys. We'll get some of your questions here coming up, and we will talk about is Illinois in a 3 seed, and what do we think of the potential matchup tomorrow. Is right now we're in the middle of the first half. Nebraska's up 29 to 21 over Indiana. So it's going to be an interesting one to see what they get tomorrow. I think tonight might have been the tougher matchup based on how Ohio State is playing, but we know Nebraska's been really good all year. But before we get to that, let's hear from one of our great sponsors.
Eat better, especially when I'm out on the road like I am so much in March. But eating better has never been easier with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart and Keto, but my favorite is the Protein Plus. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. The great part about Factor, these are two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals. They're ready to heat and eat wherever you go. So whether it's pancakes, smoothies, more, you can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And you can be flexible with your schedule with these meals. You can get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. So you can sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/Illini50 and use code Illini50 to get 50% off. That's code Illini50 at factormeals.com/Illini50 to get 50% off. So the Illini Inquirer podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Man, that sounds like a gift, doesn't it? I'd go for a walk, maybe read like an actual book, not tweets and sports articles. That's stuff I would do. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing in your schedule is know what's important to you and to make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Illini today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Illini.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Derek, so we get to stay in Minneapolis for a little while longer, and we'll see if they can get to Sunday. I got to be honest, like I felt if they got through tonight's game that they would get to Sunday. But we know Nebraska gave Illinois a nice run, a nice comeback, and gave him a scare in Champaign. Indiana, Terrence Shannon was not quite Terrence Shannon quite yet in that game, 70-62. But their defense and their front court obviously are very good. Khalil Ware was not in that game against Illinois. So this is only going to last for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes or another hour. So it's going to age pretty poorly for people who tune in tomorrow when they listen to this. But what do you think of either of those matchups? Would you prefer one to the other?
It's a good question on preference. I know for the WCIA preview show, I picked Indiana to win the game. I didn't know that Trey Galloway was going to be out. He's missed the last two games, and that's a big absence for them. Of course, we talk a lot about with Indiana, how thin they are in the backcourt, and he's really, you know, Xavier Johnson has been injured and has not played all that well. So Galloway's kind of been the once consistent presence that you like. So without him, it could be tough for them to pull this thing off. I think that in terms of the matchup, I mean, Khalil Ware is playing outstanding, as well as outside of Zach Edey, maybe as well as any big man in the Big Ten. And he'll be a problem. He's a guy that around the basket can really can score it, can alter shots. And you've got to have a really good Coleman Hawkins in that game. Dane Danger would be up for a tall task. And we know that Renew, with his back to the basket, can also score. So they got that high-low kind of mix, the ability to pound it inside. And also – I thought even without Ware and Champaign, it was kind of notable that Indiana's size was also something defensively. Yeah. When they play bigger lineups, they play in Baco, that it can be harder to score around the basket and all, harder for, again, Marcus to play booty ball. So defensively, they can compose a threat. On that note, Nebraska's been one of the top defenses in the country since the start of February. The metrics have been really, really good. And I think they do a great job of kind of just condensing inside the paint and then recovering. And then we know offensively, your guy, Keisei Tominaga, Rick Mask, can be that stretch five man and also someone that scored it pretty well back to the basket in Champaign. And Bryce Williams is a big guy that can go create his own shot off the dribble too. So two good, two solid teams. Nebraska's obviously probably better than that. They're the three seed for a reason. And I would probably prefer to play Indiana, especially if Galloway is out. But as it looks right now, maybe it will be the Huskers.
Yeah, the Huskers, I think, are just the more well-rounded team, right? You mentioned how good they've been defensively. Since February 1st, they're number two in the country in defensive efficiency. The team you played tonight, Ohio State's now number 19 after you scored 77 on them. So I feel like Illinois can score on you, but they can also score on you because their offense can go nuclear at times. When Casey is that good, they got options that can spread the court out. You know, they got Alex, the only one that can't shoot, and they kind of do this NBA kind of offense similar to Illinois, that they don't really have a true point guard usually on the court. So I know Illinois has a lot of respect for what Fred Hoiberg does and Nebraska does. So it's a tough matchup. But if I'm Illinois, I'd rather play Nebraska because, Derek, this whole – you want to win this tournament, but you also want to get to a three seed. And right now I know our boy Brad Evans has Illinois as a number three seed, the third number three seed, because Duke has stumbled. Kentucky stumbled today. Kansas has stumbled. So you left this door wide open. That's why it just had felt so terrible if Illinois didn't win tonight. But I still think they got work to do. If they lose, I think they open up the possibility, Derek, that they can be a four seed again. But if they beat a quad one opponent and get to play probably Purdue on Sunday, I think they're probably going to be a number three seed. So I think tonight is – or tomorrow night, it's going to be basically – win and you get that three seed because all these other teams are just kind of fumbling the opportunities. And if Illinois is able to make the most of it and improve their resume with another quad one, I think they get it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it would give you that sixth quad one win if you were able to beat Nebraska tomorrow. And that is can be a differentiator as you look at the different resumes. And one argument I'd have if you were kind of maybe on the Kentucky side or even Kansas, I know that Kansas is pretty widely thought of having lost four or five and be the situation they are, that to slide pretty solidly to the four line. Kentucky will be interesting just kind of how the committee views, you know, this loss to Texas A&M. Of course, they have the high point of beating Tennessee. But if you're comparing their resume in Illinois, like I think they've got four wins against the top 10 in the net. So the high points of their resume on the win side is a lot better than what Illinois has working for them. So that's kind of where you can really use.
Yeah, just to compare it, Illinois 24-8, Kentucky 23-9. Strength of schedule, Kentucky 60, Illinois 41. Quad one, Illinois 6-6, Kentucky 6-5. But as you said, Kentucky's got marquee wins. Illinois does not have those quad 1A type wins.
Right. Yeah, so that's something that it will be interesting. We don't know. We won't know until Selection Sunday exactly how the committee decided on those things. But it has been a situation where those teams in your range and honestly in front of you, as you looked at the top end of the four line and then into the three, losing early in these tournaments. Kansas to do it, Duke, Kentucky, Creighton is another one that lost last night. I don't think Creighton's going to fall below you because they have some quality on their resume, of course, with UConn too. But that's what Illinois needed, and it almost looked really frustrating where Illinois, that could have been, I don't want to say it was the storyline of the season, but Illinois had moments where it's like, okay, take the next step. Like this is a good team, good to really good team. Take the next step, whether it's beating a top tier opponent or here's the three line, go get it. Or at home against Purdue, here's to keep the Big Ten title race alive, go get it. And if they would have fumbled the bag, so to speak, you would have been pretty frustrated, but you got it done. And I think another win and getting to Sunday would make me feel really good about the three line. As of right now, though, our boy Brad does a great job, and maybe you are sitting there as of tonight.
Yeah, just for balance, Lunardi still has them as a four seed behind Duke. You look at the resume, Duke is 24-8, 5-4 against quad one, 68 in strength of schedule. Illinois is 41. Now, Illinois' strength of schedule will go up, going up against the top 40 KenPom team probably in Nebraska if they're able to close this one out. If they play Indiana, obviously not. But, Derek, I know you looked into Duke's resume a little bit more than me, but it's probably going to come down to those two. I don't know if Illinois will be in front of Kentucky, but probably come down to Illinois and Duke.
Yeah, and they are similar resumes because, as I mentioned before, they're kind of both in shallower leagues. ACC, top-heavy, not a lot of depth in terms of tournament teams. Big Ten, of course, noticeably down this year. They both have, that being Illinois and Duke, both have two wins against the top 25 in the net. So that's similar. One difference is Duke's best win. It looks a little better by beating Baylor on a neutral, where Illinois, I think, is, whether you want to say it's at Wisconsin or at home against Michigan State, either of those kind of in that 20 to 25 range. So I think that the Nebraska win wouldn't be like trumping the Baylor, but it would give you another quad one win to kind of compare to. And then, of course, I think if you beat Purdue, I know it always comes back to the conversation where it's like, does that game really matter? It should. It needs to matter.
It should.
It needs to matter.
Can I make a big comment about why we're making a big deal out of this? Right, the difference between 3-4, and I know it's self-explanatory for most people, but the path just becomes easier. You play a potential six seed, which right now looks like Nevada, Utah State, those kind of programs, and those are good basketball teams. But you're not talking about potentially South Carolina or Auburn is a five seed, or I don't think Kansas would fall there, but somebody like that, right? Like you're talking about an easier second round game if you get there, and then you're also talking about location here, Derek. You and I have been prepared to go to Spokane because everyone has Illinois a four seed going to Spokane. Right now, Jerry Palm has Illinois a three seed going to Omaha, playing Morehead State in the first round and Nevada in the second round, potentially.
And then no one seed in the Sweet 16 if you get there.
Correct. Like I forgot what the stat was. I'll have to look it up here in a moment, Derek. But Illinois hasn't been on the bottom of a bracket. They've always been in that 1, 4, 5, 8, 9, like whenever they make the tournament, they always seem to be in that kind of. They haven't been in the bottom of the bracket, feels like, in a really long time. So I have to look at that. I think 2013.
2013,
they were.
Yeah.
But it's not often that they get there. It always seems like they're that 1, 4, 5, 8, 9. That's just a tough path when you got to go through a one seed. So I think it would be huge if they're able to do that. Talk about setting ourselves up. I know some people don't like when I say an X factor is the draw. Well, if you create a better draw.
Yeah,
there's more chances of advancing.
It's a big part of it. Of course, you got to play well when you get to that win or go home mode, but setting the path is really important and a big part of, you know, why Illinois last year, I know that the writing was on the wall for that team. They weren't going to go anywhere substantial because they just weren't playing well enough. But if you can give yourself a chance just based on the draw, again, like I think even when you look at the four line, that's a potential draw with like McNeese State. Like, I'm not going to try to make them sound like they're world beaters, but they're a pretty good team. Just the farther you can go up, the more favorable really your first weekend should be, both with the first round and the second round draw. And then I'm not saying you got to, if you want to go where you ultimately want to go, which is the Final Four, like you're going to probably run into a one seed at some point. So it's like you're just going to try to completely duck those guys, but trying to line it up. Best draws possible. Locations are a really good point, especially trying to get fans there, not having some crazy travel, giving us a little bit of a break so we don't have to go all the way to Spokane and whatnot. But it all matters. And it goes hand in hand with, I think, just Illinois getting momentum late in the year. You know, they've won now, 5 of 6, and you get to Sunday, you're feeling pretty good, not only about positioning, but just how you're playing. Going into the real defining part of your season.
All right, so Casey is going off. Scott tells in our 15 points, 3 of 5 from threes, really freaking good. And Nebraska is now up 47-27. So Illinois will be playing Nebraska tomorrow. It's just Indiana can't score with them. So I don't see that happening.
47 in the first half?
47-27. Yeah, jeez. 47 with a minute left. Against Indiana, not a bad defensive team. So yeah. Indiana can't catch up with them. So here we go. Illinois against Nebraska, big opportunity for the Illini. tomorrow night. Let's get to a few of these before we go. Fly on FI, Justin Harmon, what's wrong with him? Quincy and some of the others have good games here and there. Harmon has been a total no-show since the Maryland game. He had a couple double-digit games in there. He's got to get right. He's an X factor, right? Like, you could use a little bit more production from him. Brad Underwood does play him late because he makes free throws, and Justin does make free throws really well. But yeah, some of the turnovers, and he just wasn't very – a lot of guys weren't aggressive shooting the ball tonight. Brad was really upset they didn't shoot more threes. They only shot 15 threes tonight. Guys passing up open shots outside of Terrence, it felt like, from three. So, yeah, Justin Harmon, he's another one of those guys, Derek, who can help you win a NCAA tournament game. Like, if he gets double digits, Illinois is usually winning.
Just wish there was more middle ground for him, even when it's not the high points, that you could just get a solid night.
Six points.
Yeah. And I think that's where you're really frustrated right now, I think, because when he's not right, it's pretty bad. And I think the confidence maybe just slipped a little bit. Like the mid-range jumper he took that hit the other side of the backboard. And that was one of those awful possessions where Battle was out with foul trouble. And I kind of let that thing slip in terms of the opportunity to put themselves in a real great position. And then just even for Brad to say that, you know, Harmon was supposed to foul up three and he didn't. Like, those are just mental things that can't happen. I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of basketball. I know it hasn't been at the high major level. I know the stakes probably haven't been as high as they are right now for him, but they need more out of him. So they need his engagement. Of course, he wasn't the only one who wasn't having extra bite or extra focus or extra urgency, because that was lacking out of Illinois for the most part, other than Terrence and maybe Dane. I think Ty played well and played hard, but there are a number of other guys they needed more from. But I agree with the point. Like, Harmon over the last few weeks really just hasn't been giving you a lot. Not to say that he won't down the stretch, because, you know, later kind of in crunch time moments, he has shown up at times, but they need more. They need more consistency, and it's running out of time to kind of find that.
KSA just buried another three going into the half, 50-27. Nebraska, Bryce Williams, 4 of 5 from three. So Illinois, Nebraska on Saturday. Quick turnaround, Derek, 2:30 tip-off for the Illini on CBS. They get to be on the CBS broadcast. First Big Ten win since they won the Big Ten championship game against Ohio State a couple years ago. 2 1-and-dones, close to being one tonight, but now nice bounce back for the Illini. Anything we want to get to, Derek, before we get out of here?
I think that one stat I would say, if you do make it to Sunday, of course they got another win to get, but I would put them in sole possession of second all time in the Big Ten tournament, 8 title game appearances if they get there. Not saying it's a foregone conclusion. If Jeremy's boy is shooting the rock like this, you just never know. It could be an exit against the Huskers. But also, maybe let's turn this into the honorary wine game. Can we get a bottle of wine to put like at center court for Hoiberg and Underwood, and the winner gets to chug it afterwards. Right. But these guys are our friends. Of course, Hoiberg coming to Brad's Coaches versus Cancer event. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Yep. But it'll be a fun one tomorrow, no doubt. And just the chance to stick around and be playing into Saturday is a welcomed kind of change after, one and done here recently.
There's one Illinois player that wanted the crowd to be a little bit louder at one point in this game, and he was upset that they weren't. Wasn't a great attendance tonight for the entire thing, but we're an outpost. Like, that's what Minneapolis is. But I will say, Nebraska fans are probably going to show up, because it's not too far away from Nebraska. It's like the second closest outside of Iowa for Nebraska fans, and they travel. So I'm really interested to see if Illinois fans can compete with that. But Illinois players are going to have to deal with that. Like, Nebraska's hot, man. They are excited about this team. I think this means winning a Big Ten championship would mean so much to them. The first one for this program would be huge. So I think you're going to get a really motivated team, but I love that. And you got a sniper in Keisei Tominaga that can go lead Nebraska to great things in the NCAA tournament and carry you for a couple games. I love this challenge for Illinois heading into the NCAA tournament.
There's nothing wrong with getting pushed by a team that sitting on that 9 line maybe has a chance to move up a little bit farther, and they'll be a tough out for somebody. I know that for sure, especially if they continue to defend and then have the ability to shoot the three like this. So that is a good point on the home court advantage. I know that we were kind of discussing it coming up, who would have the most fans. I did think that, of course, you knew Minnesota would turn out for their game. I didn't know that
Iowa.
Iowa for sure. Didn't know that
Wisconsin.
A long stay, Wisconsin. But I felt like Nebraska just you know, they support the heck out of their programs, and when they have something to root for, which they do this year, that's something that I knew that they would turn out for. So in general, I mean, we could spend time talking about Minneapolis, and I like the venue. I like the surrounding area. I like the city.
Great host city. It's just too far away.
Yes. Yeah. That's the bottom line, isn't it? So.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm just mean for all the fan bases. Like, that's what it's about. Like, Indianapolis, yeah. There's so many people there because it's so close for a lot of fan bases. Now, it's not close for Minnesota. It's not close for Nebraska. It's certainly not going to be close for Maryland or Rutgers anywhere, basically. And the same for the West Coast schools. But I think it's a great host city. I like this a little bit more in Chicago, to be honest with you, because it's a great host. You can walk everywhere. You see fans walking everywhere. I feel like they're embracing it. It's the biggest thing happening here. That's not going to happen in Chicago. But Indianapolis is just incomparable when it comes to hosting, in my opinion.
100% agree. Yeah, Indy's got everything you want. It's got the proximity to a lot of different fan bases. It's got the just not as much congestion as Chicago, easier to get around. You got the bars and restaurants all around for fans to just mingle and conglomerate and just have fun. And not say that they're not doing it here, just not as much volume, not as much traffic here with the fans. But tomorrow should be good. You got some good battles. Wisconsin's playing well. I should mm-hmm. mention that. They've really turned things around. Purdue survives a scare, both in the game in Michigan State, and Braden Smith going down but comes back. So it's getting down to the Final Four. I'm glad we're still going to be still here for it.
Yeah, we can stay for the weekend. We appreciate all you guys for tuning in live on our YouTube channel. Hit that like button, subscribe, hit the notifications bell. We appreciate you guys more than you know. It's fun doing these after games. We got a lot of writing to do. This show will be plenty of content at Illini Inquirer. Joey caught up with Coleman Hawkins about the final 2 minutes. And as always, Coleman says stuff. So I'm really excited to see what Joey puts together there. I'll write on Dane Danger. Derek will have 3 takeaways from this game. We'll also have 3 keys for tomorrow against Nebraska. So let's get to the bar. Let's get a bite to eat, a few beers while we write, Derek. How about it?
Ready, break.
Joey's fist bumping in the background for him.
Let's get after it.
All right. Everybody have a great night. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount+.